listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 202. Okay, the Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who refused to wear his kinky t-shirt today because it's cold outside, John Brownstone.
Yeah, I'm a Florida boy. I know.
We don't handle this kind of temperature fluctuation well.
Not well at all.
No, but you gave me a great excuse to not have to wear a t-shirt either.
Want to feel how cold my hands
are? No, I'm good. This week, we're back from our break, sort of. I'm not sure. Feeling very professional right now. And discussing something that happens to everyone, and we will make no new revelations in this episode. We're talking about those stalled plans and disappointments in our kinky lives.
Yeah,
we know all about those. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter, at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, on Instagram at that handle I will forever fucking hate, Loving DS and the number one, Loving DS one, or on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm, where you can watch us live stream the podcast every Wednesday. All links are in the show notes. A big shout out to our kinky patrons on Patreon, including our newest peeps. We see you, we love you, we thank you. If you'd like access to more content and to more of us and this thing we do, you can become one of our kinky patrons for as little as $2 per month. You can join us at Cricket Corner on Patreon. Head to patreon.com/KaylaLords or use the link in the show notes. Later in this episode, closer to the bonus section, we are going to discuss a big membership drive we're doing in January 2020, and we hope that entices you to become a proud cricket, but we will talk more about that later. Okay, so before we get into the little bit I could say about today's topic, do want to let everybody know that the BDSM contracts giveaway that we were running in December did close as of the clock striking 2020 midnight for us Eastern time. There were four winners. We use a system called Rafflecopter. It does all the technical stuff and helps us pick the winners. Winners have been picked. They have all been emailed. So I've heard from two, waiting to hear from two others. So check your spam. If you don't see an email from us in your regular inbox, check your spam. Okay. Will we do more giveaways like that through the year? Of course we will. It'd be like giving away things. Okay. So let's say the most obvious thing.
Okay.
And it is the most obvious thing. Most people are going to go, oh, no fucking shit, Kayla. Plans get canceled. Life interferes with what you thought you were going to do. It happens to everybody.
Really?
Right. I know. It's really revelatory. I know. I'm bringing the wisdom this week. I think the thing is, though, a couple things, and I think this all depends on personality. So I am getting a little bit better, tiny bit better at being disappointed, because I'm starting to gain the experience that most of the time there's a workaround, or it's okay if I have to wait. I don't like to wait. Of course I don't like to wait. Who likes to freaking wait? But it's okay. Oh, and I have found, and you tell me if you find this to be true, that sometimes it actually works out for the best if a thing I wanted to do gets shifted by a week or whatever.
Sometimes, yeah.
I mean, not always. It's not universal. But sometimes it's like, oh, that was actually better timing. I have more time for this. I can focus on this. Also, if a plan has to sort of get adjusted, like I thought we were going to do this kinky thing on Saturday, but really we got to wait till Tuesday, right? There's a little bit more anticipation for it. I'm a little bit more excited about it. I'm also more determined to make it happen because it's already gotten fucked up once. But I do know that there are people who sort of internalize this, the thought and the belief that when things don't happen the way they thought it would or the way they planned for, the way somebody told them it would, right? A couple of internal thoughts kick in, depending on the person. One is, well, it's just never going to happen. Hi to my pessimist friends out there. I am your antithesis and the most annoying person. You know, I am the eternal optimist. I can be really pragmatic and I can be really truly realistic about certain things, but beneath it all, I have a squishy center that's pure optimism. It's glittery and sparkly and every shade of purple you can imagine. It's like, I am an optimist who believes that if it's supposed to happen, it probably will happen and we can find a way and blah, blah, blah. My pessimist friends are like, oh, yeah, I told you this shit wasn't going to happen. Look, it proved me right. Us optimists just have to, like, pat our pessimist friends on the shoulder and smile knowingly. Because in a week, when you do make it happen, the pessimist is not going to go, oh, I was wrong. Something else will have been screwed up. But truly, nobody lives completely on one end of that spectrum or another. We're all, like, somewhere in the middle. We have moments when we're optimistic, we have moments when we're pessimistic. So yeah, there are times when something bad happens, and it's not even bad sometimes. Maybe it's just, oops, this didn't go according to plan. And the pessimist side kicks in. You're like, I fucking knew it. There are others, though, and these are the people who break my heart, and I hope that one day they are able to find their way out of this pattern of thinking, who internalize it as a failing. Like, sometimes, yeah, you could have made a different decision and maybe the outcome would have been different, but you can't know that until you've passed that moment. I mean, it's cliche and it's slightly punny considering the year we're in, but hindsight is 2020. This whole year is hindsight, which... probably. I pay attention to the news. Yeah, there should probably be some hindsight going on right about now. Anyway, but hindsight is 2020. It's really easy to see clearly what you should have done, what you could have done, how you could have affected an outcome when you're looking back on
it. Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Right, and you have more information. So I think about how I've changed over the years from when I was really young and just chronically stressed. So when one small thing happened, it felt like everything was crashing down around my ears, you know. I put 20-year-old me in a kinky mindset, and I think, oh my gosh, if we had planned to go to the club for a scene and couldn't, I could have easily gone down this spiral of, oh, well, we're just never going to go. Why should I bother? Why should I bother getting excited? Mm-hmm. Don't get excited about anything because it might not happen. And there are some people who live their life that way. I'm not one of those people. I try to be more realistic. I try to temper my excitement, which is difficult because remember, my inner core is squishy and glittery and purple and very optimistic.
See, I've always tried to look at it more as a little, maybe you'd say pragmatic view. I've had this ideal for many years that's gotten me by. Hope for the best, plan for the worst. That way you're never surprised.
Yeah, and I do find that works for me most of the time. But that optimist side of me is so strong that here's what happens. I'm like, okay, I'm going to hope for the best. I'm planning for the worst. And y'all, I'm an anxious person. I always got a plan. I got plans about my plans. It's just how I do. Okay, planning for the worst. But you know what? I'm sure it'll be fine. And most of the time it is fine. You know, that's the lie that most of us anxious people live under, is we are constantly worrying about the worst possible thing that can happen. And most of the time that is never going to happen. Just like most of the time, the best possible outcome is not going to happen. It's usually somewhere in the middle. But every once in a while, I'm not pragmatic and I get really excited. And here's what happens for me. I have the plan for the worst. What's the worst that can happen? Okay, we've planned for it. I'm still mad about it. Like, I had the plan for the worst. I'm not happy. And again, I think that's valid too. Be disappointed that your shit didn't happen, that you couldn't go do this. Good Lord, we'd like to have sex, but my back doesn't want me to have the sex. My back says, no, we're going to spasm every day. You're going to just take it, bitch. And I go, fuck, okay, what can we do that does not cause pain and might be considered sex?
Well, you are a masochist, so.
Yeah, but that's a different kind of pain. I'm not saying it's the same type of pain as stepping on a Lego, but it's that same kind of I don't want this pain as stepping on a Lego. So I don't have any wisdom. I really don't have any wisdom. I really think that we all can name a million situations where we thought something was going to happen and then it doesn't. And the real thing is, that's universal. That happens to all of us. The question to me is, the thing that is interesting to me, that I like to think about, is, okay, well, what do we do next? And that's where I think personality comes into play. I think life experience comes into play. I think your sort of outlook on life comes into play. And then again, it all depends. So sometimes I go, well, that sucks. And then I shrug and I move on, right? Because I know in my head there will be other opportunities. That was not the last time we had sex. Was not the last time we were going to have sex. We're going to have sex again.
I hope.
God knows. we've made plans this Friday for some kinky fuckery before we go and do some other things before my mother comes to town. Now that the kids are back in school.
Yes.
And I am aware, I'm not planning for it to not happen, but I am aware that something could interfere. That
the possibility of something happening.
That's just reality, exists, yeah. Right? That is just reality. I cannot go around my life with rose-colored glasses on always assuming the best will happen. That just sets you up for failure. If that were to come to fruition, that we did not get to have our kinky fuckery, I would be disappointed.
Yeah.
I would. But I would not allow it to ruin my whole day. Because it's one moment of disappointment out of the whole day. That is said from a place of relative privilege where my life is not overly stressful right now. The stress that I do have is manageable and we're just in a good position in life. One missed day of kinky fuckery does not feel like the world is coming down around my shoulders. However, 20-year-old me, first of all, could not even fathom kink. Just could not. Wish I could have. Could not. 20-year-old me, who lived under chronic stress, knows, remembers. 40-year-old me remembers 20-year-old me very well. And every small thing that went wrong piled up on itself. Every small thing was by itself small, but when you added one and one and one and one together,
kind of became Mount Everest.
Exactly. So that by the time the final disappointment landed, and it could be minor to anybody else, it was this big deal. It was this huge thing. It was this crushing disappointment because at that moment, it was further proof, quote, air quotes around that, proof that I could not have nice things. I could not make plans. My plans, it was stupid of me to try. It was, my pessimism came out because my reality was very stressful. And it became very difficult in those times of my life to see the good, to see and to realize that, okay, wait, you can't have it today, but that doesn't mean you're never going to have it. You might just have to wait. And sometimes waiting, it's worth the wait. It's better when you wait. And I think, like I said before, I think part of that's experience. 20 years later, I just see life a little differently. But also the lack of stress. So it's kind of a privilege to be able to go, yeah, that thing happened. I mean, it sucks, but we'll be okay.
Yeah.
Massive case in point that's not kinky. Totally vanilla. My car won't start.
No.
My car won't start now. I don't have to drive it. We have two vehicles. Neither of us leaves every day for work. So if you need to get someplace, when one car is not working, you got another car. It's fine. I might stress more once we find out what the problem is and what the cost of repairs will be. But I remember 15 years ago, 10 years ago, my car made a little sound. I freaked out because my mind went to the worst possible case scenario of how bad
the engine's going to fall out.
Right. Yeah. Because high stress, high anxiety, low financial security, no financial security, any small thing could be huge. And how was I going to deal with it? And these days I'm like, car won't start, huh? Okay, we should probably get that towed to a mechanic. And we've actually let it sit for a few days and we are going to get it dealt with. That is not just because I'm the most laid back bitch ever. That's a place of privilege because I can do that. So I think that how we react to disappointment and stalled plans is a lot about where we are in life, what's going on in our life. I'm not going to say age because that's some bullshit, but I will say experience. If you have lived through lots of experiences and learned from those experiences, we all know old people who haven't learned shit from their lives because they're still doing the same shit from 40 years ago. And you're, as an outsider, you're going, what are you doing? Right? You've learned from the things that you've experienced and you've had more experiences. Some of that is experience, but some of that is where you're at in life. If the, let's say the heat went out on a cold night and the car won't start and a kid is in trouble at school and your only outlet, your kinky fuckery you were supposed to get with your partner, gets canceled, you know what? Your reaction's going to be fucking huge. I'm not going to tell you that it is wrong for it to be a huge reaction. I think what I think about is doing our best not to live in those places, not to live in that negativity as much as we can. And that's difficult. That's very difficult when mm-hmm. the world is falling down around you. So that's, I think, I'm not here to say, you know, when bad things happen, look on the bright side. I mean, that's what I'm going to do because that's who I am. I just want to be a voice for somebody who might remember this conversation 6 months from now when the world is falling down around them, their kinky fuckery got canceled, and that's the moment they've like freaked the fuck out. That's the moment they lost their shit. That's the moment they spiraled and went, my life sucks. It will never be better than this moment right now. Life is awful. Like, if I could be the, not a fairy godmother, not the devil, whatever a combination of those two would be on your shoulder to go, hey, this will pass. You're going to get through this. You're going to be fine. There will be more opportunities in the future. It's fine. That's mostly what I keep thinking. Because if I could go and hug everybody, well, I wouldn't. Y'all know. Selective in who I hug. But if I could comfort everybody who goes through that when they go through that, that would be my preference. But we can't do that. So we have to have these conversations. And hopefully people remember them later, mm-hmm. or if anybody's going through a tough time. The holidays, it's for it being a time when it's all supposed to be about family and love and good cheer and, you know, all the good stuff of the holidays. For many people, it starts that way and does not end that way, or they don't go into it with those feelings and then things pile up and it just feels worse. And so I can imagine coming into the fresh new year, you know, either you're like me and you're on the track of, ooh, look at my brand new to-do list that looks perfect on paper. And then reality pops you up the side of the head. And then you're disappointed. Or holidays weren't cheery and fucking bright. And everybody needs to shut the fuck up. And you're already mad, right? Like, I just want to let anybody who is going through it now, at the time you were listening to my voice, know that, it's okay. And the thing that experience tells me is nothing about this moment you're in right now will be forever. It might be longer than you want it to be. I mean, chronic stress for me, 19 is when it began. I was in college and should not have had this level of financial stress. And when did it end? When did you and I move in together? I was about 34.
Yeah.
33, 34. At that point, that was my entire adult life. I'd lived under chronic, serious stress that still affects me to this day. And I could not see my way out of it. And every time I would try and plan for something to get my way out of it, it would not work. Or I wouldn't have spent that many years in chronic financial and other levels of stress. But no matter how bad it seems right now, that is the reality. It's going to change. You don't know when. You don't know how. It won't be like this. So for those temporary moments, when it's truly on paper kind of a small disappointment, but also still feels big, that is also temporary. And that's, I think, the thing that for this, for the kinky fuckery, for the DS, for the we thought we were going to do this, ooh, no, we're not. What do you do next is really the question that always comes to my mind. And I don't have any like solid answers on it. It depends on the situation. Yeah. What do you do when you're disappointed? Especially about the kink and the fuckery and the sex and the we were supposed to do things and we are not doing those things. Like most of the things we were supposed to do that we're not doing. Because life kicked us in the ass this holiday.
Yes, it did. You know, yeah, the disappointment is there. I'm at a point in life where I just kind of take things in stride anymore.
You are so calm. I'm so glad I found you. You are so calm.
You know, when things don't work out, I just kind of, well, okay, it wasn't meant to be. And regroup and try again. I mean, that's really all you can do. Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, yeah, just like over the holiday break, nothing went the way...
We didn't. You know. I have to laugh about it because the alternative was to be miserable. And at this point, I'm like, well, what's misery going to get me?
Yeah.
It's not going to change anything.
I mean, we did get in one day of kinky fuckery.
Before the kids
were off of school.
Because we knew we weren't going to get that while they were off school.
Right.
Because...
But we did have some other plans.
We had so many other plans.
Yeah. And I end up coming down with bronchitis.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that I was like... I was medicating with Sudafed and DayQuil,
NyQuil.
Sure,
this NyQuil. DayQuil and Sudafed combo is going to fix me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was just like... She was like, do you need to go to the doctor? No, give me one more day. Do you need to go to the doctor? No, one more day.
Lesson learned. Fucking learned. I don't need to be asking. We've got the tough love clause for a reason. Tough love clause means that as his sub, I can take charge if he's not taking care of himself. I should have put my foot down 2 days earlier than I did. Y'all, Christmas Day.
Yeah.
He was awake. I did most of the cooking. We didn't do anything in the smoker. So he was kind of off duty, which was fine. I liked it that way. The kitchen was my domain. And I was like, everybody get the fuck out of my kitchen. And I don't normally feel that way. We open the presents. Family comes over. We do the big meal, blah, blah, blah. And then this man fell asleep on the couch with family visiting and talking. We are not a quiet family. I know you're shocked by that. Because it was my side of the family.
Never heard a thing.
Never heard them leave. Because I was like, he'll want to say goodbye when they were ready to go home. And they were like, do not wake him up. I'm like, okay. And then when he did wake up naturally, glared at me because I had not woken him up. I was like, my dude, you are so sick. You fell asleep sitting straight up while we were all talking and sort of caterwauling very loudly. You are clearly sick.
Yeah. So then like what? 2 days after Christmas?
Day after, I think.
Day after?
I think it was day after. I'd have to go back. But yeah.
Took me to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And
all the things we thought we were going to do.
Yeah.
Not doing.
Shot in the foot. And even with the medication, it took me a while to get over it.
Oh, yeah. You were still struggling like last week.
I mean, I'm just now really back up and going full steam again. It took me a while to get over it. So everything that we had planned... Some of it never came to fruition at all.
Mm-mm. Nope, just had to kind of shrug and go.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we did manage to get our dinner in.
Yeah. Oh God, our date night was even kind of weird because then what was happening was as he was starting to get over being sick, I was starting to go downhill. I had a back spasm, which meant not even like light vanilla-y sex could happen. Not happy. And then the reason I'm drinking the bone broth that you can't see, podcast listeners, but the video watchers are watching me drink. We went out to a nice steak dinner and it was like, it didn't taste good. I didn't even finish my meal. Then we went for a coffee and I didn't even get a coffee. I was like, no, I don't want that. I'll just drink a tea. It's fine. It was, and then there were things that weren't even kinky fuckery. They were business related. They were goal planning related. It was all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get to do any of that.
No.
And if I was in a different headspace and a different place in life, that could have sent me spiraling.
Yeah.
Because I'm reading the comments from the live stream, other people relate. When you're if you're an anxious person, you're in an anxious space or you're prone to panic, it's very easy to go, well, we missed this, so we're never going to get to do it. Or this was our one chance and it's gone forever. Or the one that gets me is I didn't get it done here. I have to now hurry and play catch up and kill myself to get it done on top of everything else.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at right now because I had a number of projects.
You had a lot of stuff you wanted to do.
That I was supposed to do over break. And it didn't happen. And now I feel, yesterday I was out working and I finally, there was one project on the lathe that I started over before break, and I wanted to finish it. It was more of a thing that I was not something that had to be done, but something I wanted to do, and it was left hanging. And because of the nature of what it was, there were things I have to do, but I could not take it off the lathe without it being, I had to see it through from start to finish. So yesterday I was out there, I finally finished it, but yeah, it felt to me like my back was against the wall.
And that's a feeling that, so I have worked through those feelings and had good outcomes. I am not usually better for it at the end of it. I'm usually exhausted and more stressed, and more things can go wrong when you're in that place. But for most of the time, nothing good comes from having that feeling.
No,
I mean, every once in a while, yes, you can rise to the occasion and get something done. But then how do you feel when you're done? Like you've thrown in all this stuff you thought you know, that you missed because plans got canceled. I was looking in the live stream. I think it was CDC mentioned, you know, a delayed flight. Like somebody's supposed to come home or come to visit you. Flight's delayed. Maybe there's 12 hours of your minimal time together that you've just missed. So what do? Do you try and cram every single solitary thing into a shorter amount of space? Well, if that causes more stress and means you don't enjoy your time as much because what you're worried about is what you didn't get to do and trying to make it all fit, then is that the best way forward? I would say no at this point, because I can, because it's easier to see it through a different lens. I would say no. Had it been us when we were long distance, if you would come a day later than you planned, or I had gotten there, you know, hours later than we thought, would we have tried? Would we have let the disappointment of what we missed stop us from enjoying or appreciating what we had?
Yeah.
And that's another, you know, another concern I have when I sort of watch people in my own experience. And most of this just come from my own experience. I have been there. I've had these moments where you're so disappointed by what you're not getting, you're not doing, you're not able to, you know, experience, kinky or vanilla, y'all, that you don't see what you've got right in front of you. Again, my experience is starting to show me, I'm still learning on this one, that I would rather have every day be a day where you and I are in a good emotional place together. And maybe it's a time we can't, the physical is just not with us because our bodies are not cooperating, then have all the physical I want, but go with times where we don't have the emotional connection. You know, my experience has taught me that what we have just being together is more important than the physical stuff we're going
to
do.
Absolutely. To me, the connection is way more important than the physical.
Right. It does not mean we do not get disappointed. I promise you, we look back over the past couple of weeks, there's disappointment.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that I have found that I'm starting to do more of, because this is not my natural way, because I'm such a planner. I want to know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now, 5 hours from now, 5 days from now. I want to map everything out before I say, let's do it, is that I am starting to, with your help, because you are so much more laid back than I am, seize opportunities. So, couldn't do Kinky Fuckery last week. In just a passing conversation, that's how we knew we would this Friday. And I also know, because I know us, if the universe fucks us, Kinky Fuckery gets canceled for Friday, we will make it up as soon as we can. It might not be right when we want, but it will be as soon as we can.
That's just like we had blocks of time set aside for us over holiday break. We did not get that time.
No, got none of that time.
But what we have managed to do since then is we've eked out little moments.
An hour here, an hour there.
A night or two, we decided, you know, Parent of the Year Award, threw a pizza at the boys. Here you go. Here's a pizza. They were the happiest kids alive. They had pizza. They weren't made to eat broccoli or anything healthy. And we snuck out for a couple hours.
Yeah, we gave them unlimited access. Well, not unlimited, but we gave them access to the internet and pizza.
Yeah.
I love this age. For anybody listening with small children, let me just promise you, they do not stay small forever. And I don't mean that in the, cherish this. I'm telling you, these children will grow up and they will not need you as much. And then you can then slip away for a couple hours at a time.
Yeah.
In the live chat, Nixia said something that you and I have said to each other a lot. And we say it in very high stress moments. And it works well in low stress too, but Ignixia's got it right. She says to her partner, and I know you and I say to each other, we've gotten through everything else. We can get through this.
Yeah.
when we, what was the last big thing? I don't remember what the last big thing was. It was something either financial or it was the move. It was something. And we were both on edge. We were both like just tense and we were snippy with each other and there was worry. And it mm-hmm. wasn't that we were upset with each other. There was just so much worry. And one of us in a moment of clarity went, we have gotten through everything out so far.
Yeah.
We can get through this. We're gonna be fine. Mm-hmm. If you have that kind of relationship, and not everybody has that kind of relationship, I get it. But when it's a big disappointment, it's a big stall, it's a big fail, it's a big like moment, like you have to grapple with this. If you have that kind of relationship, instead of turning on each other and eating your own in a vicious, vicious way, remember, and we've done this episode in the past, mm-hmm. you're a team, and this is about teamwork. I think these are also the times, if you are in a relationship that is maybe less than healthy, these are the times when that becomes really apparent. Because if one or both of you does not have the desire, ability, willingness to try to come together as a singular unit, that indicates problems. You know, if small things are treated like the biggest catastrophes and you are feeling alone, like your partner is not there for you, not helping, not participating, that's a problem. Because what does happen when a big thing happens? What happens when the worst happens? What happens when somebody gets really sick? What happens when somebody loses a job? What happens when it's catastrophic? And it's not just plans got canceled for Friday night because the babysitter is sick. Like, what happens? What are you going to do? And I have gotten to a point in life, and it took me, how long was I with that person? 12 years to realize that if you, you know, for me, especially because of the nature of the types of relationships I want to have, and that's not even kinky, that's just how I want to relate to my partner.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not playing on my team or we're not on the same team, I don't want you.
Yeah.
Part of that's because I don't do casual either. But even if I had a casual partner, I want to feel like they got my back a little bit. You know, they genuinely care about my well-being as a human. That's nice. So that's my test. You know, we don't have to work. You can't work perfectly as a team from the beginning. Most of the time, that's a learning.
There's a learning curve to that. Yeah. You kind of have to learn each other.
You do.
Yeah.
You do.
You have to learn each other because you need to understand each other's strengths and each other's weaknesses. And when you do that, then you can mesh.
Right.
And you're able to forge ahead.
And the other thing is, I think you learn who you are with each other in the relationship, because who I am on my own is not markedly different than who I am with you. But you bring out parts of me that I will happily leave dormant. I'm perfectly happy to stay in my house and be a hermit and talk to nobody, except for people on the internet. That's totally different. So, you know, and that's where I really enjoyed that conversation about teamwork, because getting each other's perspective when both parties are willing to listen to each other does determine how you're in a relationship, how you're going to meet these problems head on, including the small things, including the, we were supposed to go out for our date night 2 days before Christmas and that didn't happen.
But see, if I let you be a hermit, then we'd never go to Orlando and we'd never see Ignixia.
I know. Right? I know. Yeah. I'm aware.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. But I'm okay with the hermit life. I'm saying. And the thing is, for the record, I leave the house. I just leave the house, go do my thing, don't talk to anybody and come home.
She's amazed at me. I mean, I am not the most extroverted person in the world.
Yeah, no.
But I do enjoy going to munches. Like, I enjoy going to educational workshops. I love that kind of stuff. I always have. Ever since I came into the lifestyle, that has been something that I have loved to do.
Yeah. You weirdo.
I know.
That's why I love you, though.
Sure.
So that led me to another thought, though. So if you're facing disappointment in your kinky or your vanilla life, something didn't go as to plan. Now, first of all, I'm a fixer. It's my natural inclination. I have to fight against it because not everybody wants or needs a fixer in their life. Fixers tend to barrel on through and just fix the problem whether you wanted them to or not. Life lessons learned, okay? Why do you think I give advice on the internet? I can fix everybody when they want to be fixed. Ta-da! That's what I tell myself anyway. One of the things, one of the ways we have dealt with that is to look at an alternative. Well, we couldn't do this. What can we do?
True.
And that for me comes from my desire to fix a problem. If I can't force this thing to happen, rarely is that going to work. I'm going to go, okay, what's our alternative? How do we make this happen instead? Which is fun for planning and getting shit done, but sometimes people don't want to hear it.
But see, the tough thing is, and that kind of falls into this topic very well, because I was always a fixer myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This needs to be fixed. That needs to be fixed.
Let's take care of that.
Mm-hmm. Until it came a time I realized not everything can be fixed.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
And being able to know what can be fixed,
mm-hmm.
what wants to be fixed.
Oh, yes.
Okay, because not everything or everyone wants to be fixed.
No. Some people are perfectly happy with the status quo.
Okay, and knowing when to, okay.
Right, and what should be fixed. Some things, we want to fix them.
Yeah.
They should not be fixed. They're not really fixable.
Mm-mm.
Because you have to give up so many pieces, parts of yourself to fit this mold that isn't, oh God, yeah. Oh, that could be a whole, oh, I see another topic. About being a fixer and fixing shit. Oh, there's so much there.
I opened up a can of worms.
You did. My mind went, yep. And the light might just be flowing. Yep. I might have blinded everybody with all the light coming out of my head with the thought on that. There's a path to go down on that one for a different topic.
Okay.
But that's the thing. So you're dealing with disappointment, and it's very easy for some people, most of us, but I think there are certain life situations and personality types. Who will focus on what they're not getting. And those of us who are fixers, some of us at least, will go, okay, mm-hmm. Well, what can we do? Can I fix this moment? Can I get what I want? No? Okay. What else can we do?
Yeah.
What's the alternative? And so that's a thing to always keep in mind. What is your alternative?
You rally the troops. You fall back, regroup, and make a new plan.
Right. And I have very clear memories of being the person... who, because I couldn't get my first choice, didn't want anything left on the list. Oh, you can't bend me over the bed, fuck me, pull my hair, call me mean names, and spank me until I'm crying? Well, I don't want shit then.
Said every baby girl.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I have matured since then. Now I'm like, okay. What can I get instead? What you got? What's on offer here? Right. Let's bargain. Let's negotiate. Let's find something that works.
I mean, that was just like last summer. You know, we knew the boys. Well, the boys were away
for a few weeks,
and that was great. But we knew they were going to come back, and there was still.
They just keep coming.
Yeah,
back.
You know, once you feed them, they keep coming back. But you know, there was a good stretch left from the time they came back home till the time they went back to school. And you know, that totally shut out any impact play for us,
mm-hmm.
especially in this house. So we had to look at it and say, okay, we cannot have this, but what else can we do?
Right.
All right. So we played a little bit more with rope.
Mm-hmm.
We did some wax play,
mm-hmm.
okay? A little bit more quieter stuff that we could get enjoyment out of in a different way until we could...
Right. I don't think it does anybody any service to go, oh, that one thing didn't work out, let's burn it all to the fucking ground.
Yeah.
I mean, are there moments in life, I'm always here with a caveat, are there moments in life where the best thing you can do is burn it to the ground? Yes, that was called my marriage, okay? Burn that shit to the... Down, get rid of that shit. There's no fixing it. It's not worth salvaging. Gotta go. But most of the time, if you are in a mostly good relationship with another imperfect human being, why are we burning it down? Why are we gathering up all our toys and stomping off in a temper tantrum because one thing didn't work out? What can we do instead? What are the alternatives? What are the other ways to look at it? What do we have that we can appreciate? And again, I said this at the top, some of that does come from a place of privilege. When I lived under absolute chronic financial stress, no, one small thing ruined everything. And I did not have at that point the capacity to see a bigger picture because I was so mired in the details. Mm-hmm. And I don't have good advice for anybody who finds themselves stuck there, because the advice I have is not helpful. Don't be under financial chronic stress. That's overly simplistic. That's not life for a lot of people. But I can see looking back that if I could have found a way, a something that could have been like a lifeline for me to hold on to and see a bit larger picture, to see that there are other ways, that this one small thing is not the end of the world, or just quite frankly, that the best way to relieve my particular stress was to get rid of the person causing it and move on, that was better. I think I have some built up resentment about all that. I can talk about that in the bonus section, because I have a reason for that, for it coming out right now, I mean.
Mm-hmm. I want to point out what, want you to see what Ignixia.
Yeah.
Did you catch that?
I was in the middle of a thought.
I know.
Hi, is your name Kayla Lords? Are you pulling a Kayla? You are. Woo. But that's the hardest part. That is when you have so much else going on that is weighing you down.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so easy to get mired in it. And if you can have something that helps you have a broader perspective, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a therapist, maybe it's, you know, something, a self-help guru that you're following, a book you're reading, something that can help you maybe step back from the immediacy of how you're feeling and how you think it plays into the broader picture. Because when we're under those chronic moments of stress and illness and mental health problems and all the crap that life can sometimes pile on top of us, our perception is often skewed. Things are not sometimes as dire as we think they are. Sometimes they're not as great as we think they are either. I know a few people who are overly optimistic and I'm like, no, life's not as great as you think it is. You got two beans and a hot dog to your name. We need to work. Like, how can we help you? Because there's some things going wrong here. But if you can find that thing that can help you until life changes again, until some of that stress hopefully diminishes, until you have a life change that helps you find a new path, those kinds of things, it is one small thing becomes huge, and then it's disproportionately big with everything else.
Yeah.
And that happens in our kink lives. We seem to think that our vanilla life and our kink lives are two totally separate things, and in some levels they have to be. We keep them separate so that the vanilla life doesn't know what we're doing on the kinky side.
True.
But who we are as people is who we are as people. The way we see things as people doesn't change much across the divide. Now, in a kinky situation, if you have a partner who is helping you navigate the kinky part of your life, they can help you. Whereas in the vanilla life, if they're not part of your vanilla life, okay, then yes, there might be a clearer divide for you. But who we are is who we are. So how you approach things in the vanilla world is, for the most part, how you're going to approach things in the kinky world. Unless you've got somebody guiding you and going, come on, over here in the kinky world, let's do something a little different.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you look like you have thoughts. I'm going to go read the comment.
Well, okay, you read the comment. And I'm just going to say, Ignixia, there is nothing that you need to be sorry about. She stopped to take a breath. So I thought that signaled she was done.
Because I usually use that as a signal.
Yeah.
You breathing. Oh, that means I can talk now.
Oh.
Oh, God, these domly doms.
Yes.
Okay, so let me read this for podcast people and anybody who's not seeing the live chat. Ignixia says that she's reminded of a terrible Lord Domly Dom dude in a group meeting, said that he had to keep changing the rules on his sleeve because she's, quote, smarter than I am, and if I don't keep changing things and keep her on her toes, she'll leave. I don't know if I could have kept my cool in that meeting, because I'd have been like, motherfucker, she's going to leave your ass as soon as I get to have a conversation with her and tell her how stupid that shit is. You know what? That speaks volumes of, I mean, he kind of said it. That's insecurity.
Yes.
At the height of insecurity.
Right.
I have to, like, keep my partner completely unbalanced so she doesn't know what a shitty human being I am. It leaves me.
Yeah, that's scary. That's scary.
And Ichnyxia points out it's manipulative to the nth degree. Yeah, that's...
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, no. And a couple people are talking about in the...
Well, that's like I came across something the other day. I think it was on FET or one of those places. Someone was asking a question. It was like, my dom tells me he wants to break me. But when I ask him what he means by this, he won't tell me.
Oh, run.
Right?
Run.
Yeah.
The breaking thing is a really cool kind of fantasy. And when people do that as part of scenes, completely negotiated, very clear in what the intentions are, what the parameters are, how this is going to go, what you mean by breaking a submissive.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are submissive people out there who really like enjoy that fantasy and want that experience. Yeah. I do not, but I respect the people who go at it in a healthy way. But it is the height of fantasy. And I can tell how little somebody knows, especially the domly doms, or our air quote doms. We have not brought the air quote dom out in a while. The air quote dom. You can tell how little they really know and how much they've bought into the fantasy of what BDSM is, because that's the shit they're spouting. I'm going to break a submissive. Motherfucker, get the fuck away from me. I'll break you is how I would not, because I'm not a violent person, but I say it. It sounds good. And CDC pointed out that mom stress will always be a part of her life. Mom stress will always be a part of my life, too. Yeah. My mother is turned 60 this year. I am 40. She still stresses on my behalf more often than she should. Not as much as she did like 10 years ago when it was really bad. Because you never stop being a parent. You know, you just don't stop being a parent. And I get that. But man, there are certain, for me at least, there are certain stressors that I'm letting go of. There are certain stressors being added. You know, the driving, who are they friends with? Mm-hmm. Are they doing things I don't want them to be doing?
Do I need to go buy them condoms?
Oh God, is this the time we need to buy condoms? Yeah, I mean, it's new stresses.
Sure.
And quite frankly, it's a fact of life. There's always going to be stress. There's always going to be something going on. I think this is, nothing's universal, but I think this is pretty common amongst high stress people.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime something good would happen, something bad would then happen. And I, for a long time, thought I was just cursed. I never wanted anything good to happen because the experience I had was, good thing happens. You got $200 extra or something. 5 minutes later, you need $201 to fix that tire on your car. Like literally within minutes, sometimes within the same day. Here is found money you weren't expecting to have today. Mm. Also, here is the expense to go with that money.
But wasn't it fortuitous that you had that extra $200?
I could not see it that way at the time. I can now because I just am in a different space. I'm at a different point in my life. I do not live in that situation anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, the best thing I ever did for myself was to say, and this is an expression my closest friend uses, which is, I can do bad by my damn self. I do not need you to help me. And so I decided I would go off and live a shitty life with just me and my children. And I found I could do better. Hmm. And I think some people don't realize that sometimes in those not good relationships, and you know if it's a not good relationship.
Yeah.
You can do better by yourself. I'm just saying. Especially if they want to change the rules on you all the time to keep you on your toes because you're smarter than them. I don't like people like that. It's probably a good thing those are dom-only meetings and I don't get to go to those. I'd have more people telling me how I'm not really submissive because I have too many opinions. We've gotten way off track. Yes. We've gotten way, way, way off track. I think about some of our younger listeners. I know we've got lots of like 19, 20, up to 25-year-old people. And I will tell you that the way you see life right now, the way life feels right now, for most of us, I think most of the listeners, especially once you hit 30s and older, 40s and older, I'm only 40 now, I'm still experiencing and learning about my 40s. It's just different. It's just different. And it's, if you're willing to learn from the experiences you have,
Mm-hmm.
Those experiences then help you in the future to either make different choices or handle the shit that life throws at you a little bit better. My personal view is that dealing with your mental health or mental illness, really, as the case may be, is a huge boon. This will help you a lot. If you have access, if you have the ability to do that, making your mental health a priority helps with these things, because my anxious brain will see a situation quite differently than my very calm, not quite so anxious brain. Just will. And then once I was given the tools to learn how to cope with my anxiety and to understand my anxiety and to give myself the right words and the right way to kind of move through my life, even when I'm in the grips of anxiety, I have now have the ability to go, this is my anxious brain lying to me about how bad this situation is, whether this moment is the end of the world, whether or not it will, quote, always be this way, right? And that has made a huge difference. We don't all get to hit those points in life to be able to do those things at the same time or right when we want to be able to do them. It's a struggle for many of us, even at older ages. I'm sort of right now constantly in the fear of, oh God, what if this freelance life doesn't work out? Ooh, that's a financial stress, but we're not in that place and I'm not going to worry about what hasn't happened yet. That's another thing I've finally started doing a little bit. Not worrying about what hasn't happened yet. I'm not perfect at it. I'm an anxious person. My brain goes too quiet. And I go, oh, there's nothing to worry about. My brain goes, okay, so why are we not worried? We need to worry that we are not worried enough.
There's nothing to worry about. Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So it happens to all of us.
Yes.
Nothing in life is permanent. The only permanence is impermanence. Like, everything is constantly changing.
Mm-hmm.
Not usually as fast as we would like it to. If you're in a relatively good relationship, don't go at each other when disappointment hits. Lean on each other as best you can.
Work through it. Talk.
Look for alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
For my fixers out there, be a fixer when it's the right moment to be a fixer.
Sometimes it's just not meant to be. Other times, just...
Yeah.
Regroup.
I used to hate hearing sometimes it's just not meant to be. Hated that so much. And now I'm a lot more zen about it. I'm like, it wasn't what we were supposed to do. We were supposed to do this other thing.
It's a hard thing to do, but I'm not trying to be placating by saying it this way. But sometimes, you really have to just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah. And that for those of us non-flow goers, because not like many other things, it's a skill you can learn. You can learn it. I'm not perfect at it. I'm not even good at it. I married a go with the flower is what I did. That was my superpower. Okay. Go find you somebody who goes with the flow. That's my advice. Because quite frankly, there are people I've met them who go so far with the flow.
Oh yeah,
like,
you can.
Holy shit, my dude! I had an uncle like that. He smoked way too much pot. Oh my god, and was a long haul truck driver. I'm hoping he did not do those two things at the same time.
No.
But he was so laid back. You were sometimes like, my dude, are you breathing? Like, what is happening over here? He was too far. But then, like, one of my family members was his sister, and I can't remember. Was it a great aunt? Was it my grandmother? I don't know. She was so far to the other end. She was so uptight that one small thing could wreck her life because she was the opposite of going with the flow. And what you want is to try and have a balance. And if you know, like I know, I'm not good at going with the flow, get you somebody who goes with the flow.
Mm.
Partner, friend, therapist, I don't know, somebody. Find somebody in your life who will go and like see if some of that will rub off on you.
Yeah.
Because truly, a lot of things became a little bit easier when I could finally start doing that. I still suck at it. I still want to control everything that happens so it all goes according to my plan because my plans are perfect. I would not write them down in ink on paper if they were not. That makes me sound arrogant. But really what I mean is I've thought about my plan for easily 6 weeks to 2 months before I ever write it down.
Yeah.
It is the best plan I can make, or I would not write it down in permanent ink on paper. And then life just won't follow my written down plan. Damn it. So I lean on my go with the flower.
Mm.
We have veered off. Veered off. Topic. Yeah. I don't think anything's a revelation. I don't have all the answers. I'm still figuring this out. It is just, it's a reality, and we all react in so many different ways. I think
for everybody, it's not a matter of having the answers. It's being aware that this could happen at any time.
And it being part of your own inner growth, your own personal growth. If you're in a relationship and you and your partner can do it together, great. But whether you are or not, it's something that's internal to you as much as anything else, because you can't control how the people around you react, including your own partner. He cannot control the fact, though he tries, that I might fly off the handle at a plan that does not go according to plan, right? Like a derailed plan on a bad day can send me down a rabbit hole. I can spiral. Mm. It can be really bad for my anxiety. He can't control that. He can only control him. Just like me coming out of that anxious spiral and seeing reality and not what my anxious brain wants me to see, that's about working on me and figuring out me and in my case through therapy, getting the tools to know how to do that, learning the self-talk that I have to do for that. So however you relate to this conversation, the way you react, the place you are in life, whether you have a partner who's actually your partner and you're a team together or not, it starts from within you, but use the resources around you that you might have available. If that's a strong partner, great. If that's your community, great. If that's a trusted friend, great. I think that when we think we're alone in these things, that's when real problems occur. And that's the other reason I wanted to have this conversation is to go, whoa. This thing that your brain has convinced you is only happening to you, and you're the only one with this awful luck, and you're the only one, quote, failing at all these things. Nope. It's universal. It's one of the few universals. Mm-hmm. There aren't a lot of universals, but that one is.
Yeah.
So.
Are we good?
That is it for us. We are doing a bonus section. We are going to, before we get into the bonus section, where words are hard, we're going to talk about our Patreon membership drive is what I'm saying, because it's very exciting. Okay. I'm going to interrupt myself because somebody mentioned a word the universe is telling me something. I want to put it out there. Set the intentions. In the comments, somebody's talking about codependency. I had somebody on Twitter talking about codependency, got looped into the conversation. On our topic list for the future is talking about codependency and DS. So for anybody who's interested in that topic, it is coming. I just need to make sure that I know what the fuck I'm talking about before we start that topic. So give me a few weeks. It is on the list. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to put that out there because it was like the millionth time it feels like that I'm seeing the term even in the conversation this week. So intentions have been set. It is happening.
There you go.
Okay. So we are going to go in the bonus section.
Okay.
Do the thing about Patreon, then actually go into the bonus section.
Okay. Are we good?
We're rusty. So rusty.
We're still us, though.
We are.
All right, girl.
Okay. Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week. And for real this time. Can I talk to the crickets, daddy? Please and thank you. Please and thank you. Before you answer the comments on the laptop screen, will you please answer me? Can I talk to the crickets, please?
What?
Please, daddy, can I talk to the crickets? About being a cricket. Please and thank you. I love you.
Conditional love.
No, I love you. Well, I will not be happy with you. I will feel disappointed that my plans have been thwarted if you say no. Proving a prime example to today's really meandering, rambly, not all that helpful topic.
Go ahead. Talk to the crickets, baby girl.
Okay. So it's January 2020 as we're recording, as we're live streaming. You might not be listening in January 2020, but right now it is January 2020. And for January 2020, we are doing a big old Patreon membership drive. That is what we're doing. That is what is happening. It is happening. Why? Why does it matter? Well, the more people who join us on Patreon, the more things we can do for everybody else. So what does that mean? That means we can start affording to be able to put captions on our videos. We're going to start, once we start this, we're going to start with short videos because they are cheaper than long videos. I found a thing that will help me make transcripts for podcast episodes, but oh my God, the editing required. So there is that. There are tools we use to be able to do these things. We want to be able to create more content, but guess what? Money is time. And so the support somebody gives us on Patreon frees up our time in earning money in other ways, like the client work I do, to do this, and then we can give that back to the general audience. We have, for 2020, tweaked our Patreon tiers. If you are a longtime listener, you've probably heard me say a million times, at least 201, that you can join Patreon for as low as a dollar. We have changed that. Our lowest tier is now $2. If anybody was already a patron at the $1, it did not automatically change that for them. They get to choose if they're going to change that. So what we're trying to do to encourage people who've maybe been thinking about it, but weren't sure, I don't know, maybe another month, I'm trying to give you an incentive to join us on Patreon. And that would be with beautiful little goodies that we are giving away to people who become patrons in the month of January 2020. We have revitalized our Patreon. It is called Cricket Corner. We are all about the crickets now. We are going all in on being a proud cricket. If you listen to a bonus section, you're already a cricket, y'all. You're totally already a cricket. You don't have to do anything else. You're fine. But if you can't afford to, if it's not going to like hurt you financially, says the woman who totally understands what it's like to be dead ass broke, then we have different tiers that you can join. $2, you are a proud cricket. You will get a proud cricket sticker in the mail by February. $5, you get to help suggest and pick topics for upcoming podcasts, live streams, and videos. Also, you will get a Proud Cricket sticker and a Proud Cricket bookmark. At the $10 level, you get to ask us questions for our live Q&A for patrons only once a month. That's a thing we do. We talk to our patrons every month for an hour. We answer questions as we get them. But if you're $10 and up, you get to ask questions early. $25 and up, you are in show credits. So on videos, that's going to be either in the description box or it's going to be on an end screen. And in the podcast on the show notes page, you'll be listed as a patron. And then we did something new for $50 patrons. That's our highest tier. $50 patrons get a 30-minute Skype conversation with the two of us. So if you've got questions about your relationship, if you want some insight on some BDSM topics, we do not think we know all the answers. We are just one resource of many, but that is available for only a few people at a time because we only have so much time that we can promise. And we do not expect anybody to stay at a $50 tier for very long because one, that's a lot of money. And two, you might not need to talk to us every month. So, okay, let me back up. $2 gets a Proud Cricket sticker. $5 gets a sticker and a bookmark. $10 gets a sticker, a bookmark, and a keychain. That's a loving BDSM keychain.
Yeah.
$25 gets two of each, and $50 gets all that and a handwritten note. Have these cute little Proud Cricket note cards. Mm-hmm. I could only order a few, so I was like, okay, we'll do this for the $50.
Yeah.
So if you become a patron, a proud cricket in the month of January, and you have to input your mailing address, then in February we'll sit down, we'll do all that, and we'll send them out. Somebody did ask this already, so let me reiterate. Yes, shipping is discreet. We do not put the term loving BDSM on the envelope. I'll probably put my name or our names combined. The bookmark does say loving BDSM on it, and so does the keychain. I'm just gonna let you know.
But the shipping isn't.
The shipping will not. Nobody who also checks your box will know that you got something kinky in the mail. And our URL is patreon.com/KaylaLords. If you're watching the video, it is in the description box below. If you are listening on the podcast and are not going to remember that, it's in the show notes. But yeah, the more people who join us on Patreon, the more we can do.
Mm-hmm.
We are also doing a Patreon giveaway. Once we hit 100 patrons, we're going to do a giveaway for one of John Brownstone's Weapons of Ass Destruction. That will be open. It won't matter if you're a patron who, if you're the patron who wins, it will not matter where you live. As long as we can physically get it to you, we will. What else? Yeah. So that is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So all patrons get early access to all our videos. They get a special bonus section podcast once a month. Mm-hmm. We used to try and make it 20 minutes. Minimum of 30 minutes, usually 45. And then a live Q&A every month in Patreon. We sit and chat and answer questions. And sometimes we get questions we're like, shit, I've never thought of that. And sometimes we get really fun questions that we're like, oh, this is really cool. Mm-hmm. You know. It runs the gamut. It's open. It's like, what do you want to know that maybe we have an opinion on? And so we've gotten into cool conversations lately about media and books and movies, and we've gotten into conversations about relationships.
We always get some really good questions.
Mm-hmm. So, patreon.com/KaylaLords. You will help us do more of what we do. We have goals there, so you can see what we're trying to get to.
Yep.
If we ever get to a big enough number, this will probably be one of our full-time jobs. Yeah. The other job would be the kinky shop, because why would it not be the kinky fuckery shop? Because weapons of ass destruction, right?
Right.
But this would be our main job at that point.
Yep.
So, patreon.com/KaylaLords. Okay, what else in the bonus section? What do you want to talk about?
I don't know.
You were sick.
I was sick.
I had a bad back, and then my stomach went out on me earlier this week. Oh, my mother's coming to visit this weekend.
Yeah.
So she was supposed to come last weekend. There was drama in the family. I'm not gonna go through all that. Patrons know because I bitched about it in Patreon. Ooh, that's another thing. When we go on breaks, we don't go on break from Patreon. So we still did all our Patreon stuff too. So when we go on breaks, you still get us. Patreon.com/KaylaLords. We shifted around everything, thought she was coming last weekend, did not come. Family drama. Then apparently she sent a message at 4 a.m. our time, which is 5 a.m. her time, but 4 a.m. on a Wednesday, January 1st, I slept in that day. Thank you very much. missed the message. So I'm coming this weekend. Was it this Wednesday? It was a Wednesday at 4 a.m.
It couldn't have been this Wednesday because today is this Wednesday.
It was last Wednesday. Y'all, do not trust me with a calendar. Numbers are hard.
It's okay, baby girl. You'll be fine.
Oh, my God. So all I remember is 4 a.m. That's the thing that had me what?
Yeah.
She's coming. So I didn't see this message. And the hundreds. I'm in a group chat with my mom, my aunt, and me. And there's a lot of messages that come through. So I missed it. Until I get a message yesterday that says, okay, when I come on Friday, I'll pick up dinner. Go online, look at the menu, tell me what you and the boys are going to want to eat. I went, did I miss a conversation? Are you coming this weekend? And she went, yeah, I think you did miss a conversation. Yes. Yes. She's coming Friday night, Saturday night, and leaving Sunday, which is a much shorter trip than she originally wanted, but that's okay. It actually works out better because I have to work on Sunday. Yeah. I have work I need to do. So there was that.
Right.
And then why am I so pissy about my first marriage? Why? So I don't talk about this much because it's just a fact of life, and thankfully we are in a position where it's okay. My ex-husband does not pay child support. Is he legally required to? Of course he is. Did I, in the custody, blah-de-blah, cut him a really good rate for two kids because I knew he didn't have money and I'd always made more money than him? Yes, I did. Has he ever paid a dime of it? No, he has not. Does he call his children regularly? No. Has he talked to the youngest in the past year or longer?
Longer.
No. He did send the youngest birthday money through the 14-year-old. Didn't mail it. Didn't send it to me. Didn't tell me what he wanted to do. Gave the 10-year-old on his 10th birthday some cash. Okay. Better than nothing, I guess. Then at Christmas, never once has he ever messaged to say, what do the kids need? Do they need shoes? Do they need clothes? I can't pay full child support. I never come after him legally because I don't have fucking time, y'all. And it's not going to do any good. He just quit his job and then he'd go off the grid again. And what the fuck? What's the point? But has he ever asked, is there something I can do for the kids that, it's August. Do they need school clothes? Do they need a backpack? Could they use a pencil? No. And as annoyed as I am about it, I'm okay. We do fine. We do fine. I have long done fine without that man. At Christmas, he sent each child $150, which is very, very nice. It's certainly a lovely gift. The 10-year-old's eyes are still this big in his head like saucers, Holy shit, that's the most money he's ever had at one time. Never said a word to me that it was coming. Sent it to the 14-year-old.
PayPal.
PayPal'd the 14-year-old. Thank God the 14-year-old is an honest fucking kid. That's all I gotta say. Because I would never know. Never know. So, yeah. And you know what? I don't need him. I didn't need him when we were married. I don't need him. And I've never waited around for child support. I wouldn't know what to do with it if he sent it. I'd be like, so y'all want some new Xbox games? Like, I wouldn't know what the fuck to do with it. Actually, I'd probably put it in savings because that would be really nice to be able to do for the kids, like college funds and stuff. But it does annoy the fuck out of me. It reminds me every day about why that was the best decision I ever made in my life. Best decision I ever made. And I am that mom who, when... So the youngest doesn't talk about him at all. Barely remembers him. Has not seen him since he was 2? Yeah, 2012. November of 2012. Mm. We had to drive there to where the general area where he was living at the time to sign the paperwork because we were trying to sell the old house, I think. I think that's what we were trying to do. We were trying to do a short sale is what we were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Did not work out. Foreclosed. Got foreclosed on. Which is why we have not bought a new house yet, because we're waiting for that to finish going through the whole system. Yay. But that was what the 10-year-old was too. And has talked to him on the phone since then. I wouldn't even say a dozen times. Maybe a handful of times over the past 8 years. So he has no relationship with the youngest. The oldest has nothing but positive memories because... Dad was always the fun dad. Dad didn't go to work. Dad let you eat Pop-Tarts at any given time of day. And now Dad sends money twice a year. And so I'm that mom that just smiles and goes, uh-huh, your dad. You messaged your dad. Your dad sent money. Oh, good. Okay. And I'll say a fucking thing. Until I get here and then all the repression comes out. Then I'm like, motherfucker. Life lessons. I've learned from them. Did better the second time around. Finally got picky, quite frankly. Finally set some standards. Oh, you have to be more than breathing and on 2 legs? Okay. But more than just opposable thumbs? Okay, good. So yes, if you notice any anger behind the clenched jaw, I'm a little annoyed.
Well, I've gotten a new job over the holiday break.
It sound like you're like got a job. What's your job?
I'm an Uber driver now.
You are an Uber driver for a 14-year-old.
I'm an Uber driver for a 14-year-old.
And the cutest little girlfriend. She's just adorable.
Yes. It was funny because he asked if could pick her up and bring her to the house. And on the way over, he's like, she's really nervous. And I'd like for you to be an Uber driver. And not just an Uber driver, but an Uber driver that doesn't talk.
The Uber driver that wants the 5-star rating.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, don't talk to me.
So
I kind of look at him and I was like, nothing? Can't say anything? He's like, no. So the radio was playing and I was like, well, can I sing to the radio? He's like, oh, no.
Yeah, none of us want you to do that. Yeah.
So then I was like, well, can I at least lip sync? He was like, yeah, that's okay. So, yeah, I've done that now several times. And on the other day, on the way home, he goes, after dropping her off, he goes, you're unusually quiet. And I was like, well, I'm in character. I'm supposed to be the quiet Uber driver. Mm-hmm. No one told me to break character. And he was like, oh, well, you don't have to worry about that. She likes you. You can talk.
But I scare her. Not on purpose. I'm not trying to scare her. I'm glad one of us is allowed to talk to her. I did talk to her. We do movie night most Saturday nights. Yes. Saturday we won't, because we'll have family town. It'll be fine. We do, as a family, we eat finger foods, which is part of what upset my stomach, too, because I've been eating stuff I shouldn't be eating. But no regrets. But we eat finger foods. The kids eat pizza rolls. You know, there's just all this bullshit food because we're sitting around the couch. Because we always eat at the table. The dinner table, like, it's a special treat to not have to eat at the dinner table.
Yeah.
So we sit in front of the TV, eat our snacks. And he was like, can she stay? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I said, as long as she's okay with pizza rolls. Like, if she's got, like, some special dietary needs, she better bring her own food. He's like, Mom. So I had to go figure out, do you like, because we had some cheese stick, mozzarella sticks, we had the pizza rolls, I had different drinks, like, what do you want? And I knock on the door, and I wait a moment before I open, and I hear shuffling, and I open, I'm like, okay, is everybody decent? And then there was embarrassed laughter, which told me, thank God I'd waited a moment, which is fine, this is fine. And so I did get to talk to her. I was like, do you like pizza rolls? Oh, yeah, yeah. What about mozzarella sticks? Oh, yeah, I love mozzarella sticks. I'm like, okay. Then I said, well, I've got soda. We have some diet soda. And I said, it's not Diet Coke. She's like, well, what kind of diet soda is it? I said, it's the Publix, our store brand. The Publix brand. She goes, I love that stuff. And I was like, look at us bonding. I love it, too. And I was allowed to talk to her then.
Okay.
But apparently I scared her so much she did not actually drink her diet soda.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Mm-hmm. She is sweet. And she does not take his crap, which I like. And he doesn't want to give her crap. He is so in love right now. It is so precious. And she said in front of me, so smart girl there, you should listen to your mother. That could be pure bullshit. I don't care. I was like, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. She also doesn't like his monster drink habit.
No. So.
I mean, I like her. She's sweet. I like who he is right now, that he's happy.
Uh-huh.
So
it's going to suck if they break up.
Or when. I mean, when, they're just 14. So yeah, there's been a lot. It's been a lot of weird life stuff. Like, I'm going through first now because he's the oldest. And as I have been very candid with him, he is the experiment. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. He's like, Mom, I hate being the experiment. I'm like, I know it will be easier on your brother. He's like, yeah, this shit sucks. I said, why do you think I let you get away with so much, though? Like, he's got privileges that I did not have at 14. Nobody of a gender I was attracted to was going to be allowed into my bedroom at 14. It just wasn't going to happen.
Right.
Nor was I going to get, you know, internet access on a device I could walk around with. We didn't have that. I mean, I'm, you know.
Yeah.
But still, I didn't even get to use the computer on the internet without my dad standing over me when I was like 17. Gosh. Like, he was behind me the whole time. Not the whole time, but practically. Yeah. So, yeah. But yeah, it's weird. I'm like, okay, we're all navigating the first girlfriend. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we're navigating the, I want to go places. Yep. They went on a little date to a fast food restaurant, just the two of them, the other day. It was so precious. I'm so glad I didn't have to drive. 14-year-old knows what's up. He does not ask me. So yeah, we're entering this new stage in our parenting life too, which is, it's so far, knock on wood, it's been good. It's been good so far.
It's been good.
Doesn't mean I'm not worried about what might happen, but it's been good so far. Yeah. You have a show and tell.
Yeah. This weekend.
Yes, while my mother is in town.
While your mother, gee, how did that work out?
You like my mom.
I do. She's a wonderful person. I will be going to Orlando for a workshop on knife scaling. And for anybody that doesn't know what knife scaling is, basically you have a knife with no handle, like this. It's just a knife. And the scaling comes in that you actually cut, shape, and mount a particular type of handle to the knife. And yeah, I'll be in Orlando this weekend taking a workshop on how to do that. I've always been fascinated by it, and some of the scaling and knife work that I've looked at online is just amazing. And I missed out on an opportunity to do that back in November.
Mm-hmm. Because my mother was coming to visit then.
Yeah. And they repeated the workshop, and I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to it.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you're going to go have fun.
Yeah. So. Yeah, other than that, though, I haven't.
No, it was nothing about the past 2 weeks that we were off went the way we thought it would.
No.
We kept our sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're just sort of like going, okay, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Like all the planning we were going to do, we are now, it'll probably be the end of January before we get it all done.
I know.
But it'll get done.
It'll get done.
And I keep going, January 1 is just an arbitrary date. Time has no meaning. It's all relative. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can start new things in February if you want. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. Oh, Silent Wing point out, the oldest is almost 14 and all this talk is terrifying me. She can't order her own food with me standing next to her. Yeah, our 14-year-old's like that too.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was funny when I was taking him to that, to pick her up for that little fast food date the other day. He says to me, he goes, oh, I guess I have to order my own food.
That's usually the moment you realize that maybe you've been doing too much for them.
Yeah. And I was like, I jumped right in with my charm. Don't worry about it. I'll go in with you. I'll go in with you and I'll order for you. And he gave me the side eye. No.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The moment he's like, I've never done that before. I'm scared. I'm like, well, don't worry. Mommy can help you. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'll figure it out. Yeah, I play on his level of embarrassment more than anything. Oh, you think you can't do that? And you know what? Sometimes I'm not sure because he is anxious and he does have, like, you know, moments.
Mm.
But I have noticed with him, it's a push him out of the nest kind of thing. Push him out and he figures it out on the way down. We also have the kind of relationship he feels comfortable coming and asking questions. How do I do this? How does this work? The youngest, that's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does not have the same mentality his brother has. And is more anxious than I am. So it's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But we got a couple years through that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been us. Same shit, different day.
Yeah.
As usual.
Mm-hmm.
I am feeling better, which is good.
Yeah,
I can actually, you can't, obviously podcast listeners don't know this, but I'm like leaned forward, like not doubled over in pain, but like hunched forward. And 2 or 3 days ago, I couldn't even do that without pain. So I'm like, oh, I'm feeling much better. My back's only bothering me in some moments. My stomach's only bothering me a little bit. Like, this is improvement. This is progress. Maybe I'll make some better life choices this year and we'll have less of these problems. That's what I would prefer. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the year ahead. I'm looking forward to the topics we come up with. I have a few topics I need to go on Patreon and go, hey, what about this? What do you think about that?
We've still got stuff cooking and coming up. We do.
We have so many things. We have one thing that when it finally occurs and we can talk about it, oh my God, it's going to be so exciting.
I know.
So, yeah. I mean, it's, and we're glad everybody's here on the journey with us.
Yeah.
In whatever capacity you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we have rambled.
Yep.
As long as I knew that we would.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we still have another video to record. I know. So we should go.
Yes.
We should go. We love you guys.
Love you.
Thank you. For listening, great. For watching, for hanging with us.
Mm-hmm.
I think next week, I don't make any promises, but next week maybe we'll have a legit topic. A real like, here's our perspective and how you can handle this thing kind of topic.
Sure.
It's fine. Okay. We love you guys. We're going to go. Have a good one.
Bye.